I'm going to preach on this subject this morning, precious things for mother, precious things for mother. And so if you have your Bible open at Genesis chapter 24, Abraham now is in his latter closing chapters of his life. The Bible says in verse 1 that he was old and well stricken in age. And so he had one big concern. I think mom and dad, you would understand this. One big concern was that he wanted to see his son Isaac marry the right kind of a young lady. And so this chapter is all about Abraham and Abraham's servant seeking the right person, God's perfect will for Isaac in a marriage partner. And so verse number one, we kind of see what the plan is here. And Abram was old and well stricken in age, and the Lord had blessed Abraham in all things. And Abraham said unto his eldest servant of his house that ruled over all that he had, put, I pray thee, thy hand under my thigh, and I will make thee swear by the Lord, the God of heaven and the God of the earth, that thou shalt not take a wife unto my son of the daughters of the Canaanites among whom I dwell, but thou shalt go into my country, into my kindred, and take a wife unto my son Isaac. Now, there was part of the culture back then, part of society, a part of civilization that were worshipers of the Lord God, and there were part that was worshipers of false idols. And you know what he said? He said, I don't want my son to take a wife who does not believe in God and doesn't believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and not believe in the coming promise of the Messiah. And I just not going to preach to young men and young ladies, but I'll tell you what, you know what? You need to be so smart and so wise in seeking God's will in a marriage partner one day. And if you're a Christian young man, you know what? You ought to be patient and wait. Come on now, patient and wait. And you ought to find a Christian young lady to marry. And if you're a Christian young lady, you ought to be patient and wait and find a Christian young man. And so Abraham basically sends the eldest servant of his house. This is the one that ruled over everything that he had, his number one top steward. And he said, I want you to go to my kindred and take a wife unto my son Isaac. Now, this is a cultural thing, a little bit different than we do today. Some of you young men, can you imagine that your dad got to a point where he said, I'm going to take one of my employees and I'm going to send him over into a far country, and he's going to find you a wife and bring her back, and that's how we're going to figure this out. Ian, what do you think? I think we ought to maybe look into doing that. And so a little bit different situation. And again, let me just say this, though. If you have Christian mom and a Christian dad, you ought to listen very carefully to their counsel as you're going down this road seeking God's perfect will in a marriage partner, okay? And so anyway, I don't get into all those teachings. And so that's the plan. Now we get down to verse number 10. The servant, he took 10 camels of the camels of his master and departed, for all the goods his master were in his hand. And he arose and went to Mesopotamia and to the city of Nahor. And he made his camels to kneel down without the city by a well of water at the time of the evening, even the time that women go out to draw water. And he said, O Lord God of my master Abraham, I pray thee, send me good speed this day and show kindness unto my master Abraham. Behold, I stand here by the well of water, and the daughters of the men of the city came out to draw water. And it came to pass that the damsel to whom I shall say, let down thy pitcher, I pray thee, that I may drink. And she shall say, drink, and I will give thy camels drink also. Let the same be she that thou hast appointed for thy servant Isaac, and thereby shall I know that thou hast showed kindness unto my master. So Ian, here's the plan. Your dad's going to send one of his employees, and he's going to bring camels with him. And then when he gets across the desert, he's going to have the camels kneel down. And this is the prayer. Lord, help a young lady come along. And I'm going to ask her, would you pull some water out for me and so I could have a drink? And she's going to say, I'll not only do it for you, I'll water all your camels. And so this is how we'll know that this is the wife that you're supposed to marry, okay? So this is the word of God. Don't look at me like that. This is the Bible. Okay, well, I think we're coming up with a good plan here for Ian and finding him a wife coming down the road. Oh, by the way, I'm having fun with this, but let's stop and learn something. Aren't you glad all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable? How many of you are glad that you married a wife that had a good work ethic? Amen. I'm so glad I didn't marry a lazy wife. Amen. And you say, well, that's an odd way to decide. Well, it might be a pretty smart way to decide, because here he asked her to do a little thing and she was willing to do much more. It takes a lot less water to satisfy a man's thirst than it is a entire group of camels. And so she really worked hard to do what she said she would do. And again, I'll say the same thing to you young ladies. You want to have a horrible life, a terrible life, you marry some lazy rascal. I don't care how handsome he thinks he is. I don't care how important he thinks he is. I don't care how good he is at video games. You might want to find one that has a J-O-B. All right. That spells job. Okay, just for a couple of you are like, what? J-O-B. I got to Google that. And amen. All right. But we're not preaching on those things today. Man alive, these rabbits keep running by. And I got to shoot that rabbit and shoot this. We're trying to get Ian married, what we're trying to do. That's what we're focused on. That's the reason we're here. And so now we get down to this, and she does that. And so verse 16, good news, Ian. And the damsel was very fair to look upon. So there you go. Amen. Hard worker and not too bad on the eyes. All right. So that's just working out for you. Just trust us on this, okay? Well, this servant eventually goes. She goes running home, tells mom and dad what happened. And dad says to the brothers, you go invite this man to come to our house. I'm going to take you all the way over now to verse number 48. And the servant arrives there, verse 48. Notice this in verse 48. And the Bible says, and I bowed down my head and worshiped the Lord and blessed the Lord God of my master Abraham, which had led me in the right way to take my master's brother's daughter and to his son. And now, if you will deal kindly and truly with my master, tell me, and if not, tell me, that I may turn to the right hand or to the left. He said, listen, this is either the will of God or it isn't. What do you say? And then Laban and Bethuel answered and said, the thing proceedeth from the Lord. We cannot speak unto thee bad or good. Behold, Rebekah, by the way, it's the young lady's name, Rebekah is before thee. Take her and go, and let her be thy master's son's wife, as the Lord has spoken. And it came to pass that when Abraham's servant heard their words, he worshiped the Lord, bowing himself to the earth. And the servant brought forth jewels of silver and jewels of gold and raiment and gave them to Rebekah. He gave also to her brother and to her mother. Isn't this a wonderful little phrase here? And to her mother, what's the last two words there? Precious things for mother. And so when he came, he had gifts for this bride-to-be, and he lavished gifts upon her, and he gave gifts to the brother. I don't understand that part of it. Must be a cultural thing. I thought the greatest gift was taking the sister away. That's what I thought the greatest gift was. Why there needed to be any other gifts, I'm not sure. But my sister is sitting over here for you visitors, and that was just for me and her. And don't worry, she knows how to defend herself, okay? She'll pay me back for that. But yeah, he brought gifts. He brought gifts for the bride-to-be, and he brought gifts for her brother. But you know what he gave to her mother? Precious things. You know what? He recognized something there. He recognized that, you know what? God may have brought this lady into my life, but she wouldn't even be here if it wasn't for somebody pretty important. And he paid special attention and honored her in a special way and made sure that she received precious things. Well, it's Mother's Day. And you know what? Part of Mother's Day, and I think a good tradition, is for us to get gifts for our moms. It may not be gold. It may not be silver. May not be jewelry. Matter of fact, I think back growing up, I'm not sure my mother's favorite gifts had, on Mother's Day, I don't think they had anything to do with monetary value. A lot of times it was just a piece of construction paper that we had labored over to make my mom a homemade card, or maybe we went out not realizing we were picking weeds. We thought she loved dandelions. I mean, you talk about a beautiful flower, and maybe it's just a little girl, a little boy that comes in with a fistful of dandelions and says, "Mommy, I love you." And you know, the "Mommy, I love you" and the dandelions, you know what, are worth more gold and more silver, more than anything else in the world, because it came from the heart of a child. And you know what, I just want to say on this Mother's Day, folks, there's some precious things that I believe every mother is deserving of. I think there's some precious things that we as children need to give to our mothers. You say, "Preacher, my mom's in heaven." Well, me and you have something in common, because I, several years ago, began to celebrate Mother's Day without my mother still here on earth. But you know what? I still feel like that I can give her gifts on Mother's Day. There's some things that I can still give to her that I think she would enjoy more than silver, more than gold, maybe even more than those dandelions and that little homemade card. I'm going to encourage you for a few minutes to give precious things to your mother. Number one, give your mother the precious gift of obedience. And by the way, the Bible tells us this: children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. And most of the children that I would normally preach this to are out in our children's ministries. Some of you still live at home with your mom. And let me just say this, you know what? There'll come a day, the Bible says, when you will leave mother and father and cleave into a wife or into a husband, and those two will become one flesh, and you'll have your own home unit, and I understand that that day's coming. But you know what? Until that day, you're to be obedient to your mother. You're to honor your mother. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. I think one of the greatest gifts a mother can receive from her child is just a sweet, obedient spirit. You know what? If you want to see a frustrated mom, see a mom that has to have a 5-minute argument with each of her children every time she asks them to do the littlest thing, the smallest thing, the slightest thing. You know what? That's so disrespectful to your mother to be that way and to live that way. You know, two words, young men, that I would encourage you, young ladies, I would encourage you to learn is very simple. Here they are: yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. You say, well, think about this. You say, "Preacher, the problem is she's always asking me to do things I don't want to do." Yeah, moms tend to go that direction. Amen. Well, she's asking me to do things that I don't see as being important. Look right up here, young people. She is preparing you for life. There's things you don't understand about life that she understands. There's some things that you don't understand is waiting for you in the future that she understands. And you know what? She's trying to get you ready for that. And I hate to break your little hearts, but you know what? All through life, you're going to have to do things you really don't like to do or want to do. And you know what? You're going to have to do some things that doesn't seem like it's very important, but they're going to be necessary for you to one day be able to provide for your own family. And so it may not seem like that big a deal to make your bed or pick up your toys, or it may not seem like that big a deal to make sure that the trash, come on, doesn't look like a volcano erupting before you pay it some attention. But when you do the little things right growing up, then you are well prepared to be successful in life, because the little things in life are not really the little things. The little things in life are oftentimes the most important things. And so Proverbs 30, verse number 17, think about this. God warns judgment upon children that become rebellious and disobedient to their parents. And this is very graphic. Okay, you know how you're getting ready to watch something on TV and it says some scenes might be disturbing. Viewer discretion is advised, you know. Proverbs 30, verse 17. The eye that mocketh at his father and despiseth to obey his mother, the ravens of the valley shall pick it out and the young eagles shall eat it. Yikes. And you know what God was saying? That there's judgment waiting down the road for someone who's going to be disrespectful to their mother. There's judgment. Come on. Well, my mom can't make me do anything. Well, God can make you do whatever he wants you to do. And you know what? You're going to do whatever you want to do till God says you're not. And one of the things we ought to be reminded of, folks, and I think it's kind of disappeared in America, I'm just going to tell you, but the Bible says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. And the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And one of the things that I want to do is to fear the Lord enough to obey him. And you know what? If he's telling you to obey your mother, he's not telling you something that's going to be hurtful for you or harmful for you in the long run. He's telling you there's somebody that loves you, that loves you probably more than any other human being on this earth. And they know what's waiting for you one of these days. And they know how hard life is going to be. And they know that you have to have some character traits and some discipline built into your life if you're going to be successful. What are you saying, preacher? If you're a child and you still live under the roof of your mom, obey your mother. It's one of the most precious gifts that you can give to your mom. The Bible doesn't just talk about obedience, but it also talks about the importance of honoring our mother. It's one of the Ten Commandments, by the way, Exodus 20, verse 12. Honor thy father and thy mother, and this is what God said, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Ephesians chapter 6, we read, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. But it goes on to add this, honor thy father and mother. And then there's parentheses there. It says, which is the first commandment with promise. This is the very first command that God ever gave in the Bible that he attached a promise to. Well, what's the promise? That it may be well with thee and that thou mayest live long on the earth. That it may be well with thee and that thou mayest live long on the earth. So we talked about obedience, and I already mentioned that there's going to be a day where you leave and cleave and you have your own family, and I get all of that. And obedience may be for children, but honor is for all of us. And I do believe that every single one of us ought to live our lives in such a way to bring honor to our mother. Honor to our mother. Think about this. Well, preacher, how can I honor my mother? You said that your mother's not even here on earth anymore. How can you bring honor to her memory? Think about this. Honor her with appreciation. Honor her with appreciation. I'm glad that I didn't stand right here beside the casket of my mom and look at her with tears running down my face and say, Mom, I blew it. I never did tell you how much I appreciated you. I'm glad I didn't have to do that. Listen, you know what? It's wonderful to send flowers to a funeral, but why don't you send flowers while they're alive? Amen. And you know what? It's one thing to speak to a corpse, but it's another thing to go sit down with your mom and get a hold of her hand and look her in the eye when she can hear you and when it can make a difference in her heart and in her life. And one of the most important things to do is to learn to just show appreciation. Young men, young ladies, don't take for granted all that mom does for you. I mean, she works hard for you, and most everything she's doing in life, she would rather do other things for herself and bring more enjoyment to her, but she sacrifices for you. Show appreciation. You know what? If you sat down tonight at the supper table and maybe mom's made something that's not your favorite meal, you know what? She doesn't need to hear your snarky remarks about it. She doesn't need to hear you whine or complain about it or talk about how you want chicken nuggets instead. You know what you need to do? You need to say, thank you, Mom. Thank you for making this for me. And show some appreciation, okay? The Bible says of the Proverbs 31 woman that says this, her children arise up and call her blessed. Also, her husband also, and he praiseth her. I want to just give a challenge out to the husbands. I know that, you know, we're not talking specifically about marriage, but I will tell you this. You know what? Children, the Bible says the children arise up and call her blessed, her husband also. Well, where do the kids learn this thankful appreciation and spirit towards their mother? They ought to learn it from their father. And you know, men, listen to me. If we're always putting down our wives and mistreating our wives, come on, too much of this verbal abuse going on where we're just saying things that are wrong and unnecessary and wicked, and we don't have a loving spirit towards our wives. Do you understand that there's little children in your home that think that since daddy can talk to her that way, that they have a right to talk to her that way? And so men, let's be the right example for the children in the home. I think the men of the home ought to set the temperature of the home when it comes to this matter of showing appreciation and love and sweetness and gentleness towards the wife. But let me say this, young people, you still have a biblical obligation to rise up and call her blessed. One of the most important gifts that you can give your mother is the gift of appreciation. Now, I know we're giving you this information on Mother's Day, but you know what? Let's not just do it one Sunday. Let's not just do this one Sunday a year, all right? Why don't we just say, you know what? I'm going to, on a regular basis, go out of my way to make sure I know how much my mom appreciated all that she put into me. If you still have your mom living here on this planet, and you know what? Men, come on, let's just say, I just want to say this too, and I get it. Young couples, you know, I get it. Leave, cleave. You got your own family. You got your own thing going. I get it. But if you're not careful, you know what? That old clock's going to tick by, and the days are going to come. And next thing you know, it's been a month or 2 months or 3 months. And you know what? You're so busy in your own life that you haven't stopped by and checked on mom. You haven't stopped by and sat down and had a heart-to-heart talk with mom. You haven't stopped by and shown appreciation to mom. And so let's not do that. Let's make sure that we take from this Mother's Day celebration, a renewed devotion, a renewed responsibility that I need to make sure that mom knows how much she's appreciated for what she has sacrificed and done for me all of my life. And so give your mom the precious gift of obedience and the precious gift of honor. You can honor her with appreciation. You can honor her with a sense of value. Now, I want to give you a verse here. I'll preach a whole message on this one of these days, but I'm just going to mention it. Now, the Bible says, "Hearken unto thy father that begat thee, and despise not thy mother when she is old." And the word despise, we hear that, we think that's a harsh word or a harsh term, and we think of the word despise, we think hate. So, well, preacher, I don't hate my mom just because she's older. But the word despise there in the Bible doesn't mean hate. It means to undervalue. And, you know, one of the most important things for a woman as she ages in life, as she goes into the grandma years and the kids are busy, is just the need to feel valued. Now, think about that. It says when your mom gets on up in years, then you know what? You have an obligation to be careful that you don't undervalue her. You know, we were very appreciative of our mom when, you know what, she was taking care of us. And maybe even when we had little children and we needed help, we were real appreciative of her being there. But, you know, the kids are kind of grown up now and mom's gotten older and she's more feeble. And watch this. If we're not careful, she can no longer do what she used to do for us. So we begin to undervalue her. Isn't that kind of a selfish view of this relationship? I want to ask you a question. Did she take care of you when you couldn't take care of yourself? Did she sacrifice? Did she get up in the middle of the night? Come on, did she fix for you and your family? How many times did she do your laundry? And yet it seems like we have a generation. By the way, I don't know everybody's circumstance here, and trust me, I understand there's times when people require 24/7 care. But I will tell you this, it's a shame. It's a shame to say this in the United States of America. Nursing homes are filled with men and women whom children, selfish children, have put there and all but forgotten. And that is not right. That is anti-God, anti-Bible, anti-Christian way of looking at that relationship. And so all of a sudden, mom starts requiring a little more of your effort. Come on, all of a sudden she's a little bit more of an inconvenience to you. Well, wait a minute. It sure was fine when you were an inconvenience to her. Hey, let's make sure we take care of mom and dad. Bible says that if any man, talking about widows, if any man doesn't provide for his own, he's worse than an infidel. That's pretty strong language. So all of us have an obligation to make sure that she has a sense of value, that she is appreciated for all that she's taught you. You know, sometimes we forget how much mom taught us. Okay, Think about this. There was a little girl in church here one day, and I came up to her, and she was in kindergarten, about one semester in, and she was jumping up and down waiting for me to walk in. And she had her little reader with her, and she finally got the place where she could read a little bit. "Preacher, sit down. I want to read to you. I want to read to you." And so we sat down, and she stumbled and kind of bumbled her way through a couple sentences trying to sound out the words, but she did a pretty good job, backed up, did it again, and it was almost perfect. She looked up beaming, and I said, "That's amazing. She could read. That's amazing." I said, "Who taught you that?" And she looked down at the book and looked at me and looked at the book and looked at me and said, "Nobody. I just always have known." It was her moment of glory. She didn't want to share that moment with anybody. You know why you can read, sir? You know why you can read, ma'am? Because somebody taught you. Now, we're thankful for school teachers, aren't we, because of some of that? But let me tell you this. Think about all the things your mom taught you. Come on, some of you wouldn't even be eating with a spoon today. It'd be real ugly at lunchtime at the house today. Okay? Some of you that have, you know to say thank you and all that. It's not because you were born with that. You're just a wonderful person. Somebody taught you all of that. And sometimes we undervalue our parents because we're almost like that little kindergarten student that wants all of the credit for what we've become. Think about this. And we fail to realize all of the people that invested in us so that we could become what we are. And so let's honor her. Honor her with a continued good name. The Bible says a good name is rather to be chosen than great riches and loving favor rather than silver and gold. And you think about this, your mom is forever connected to you. Your dad is forever connected to you. And you know what? My name is they named me Gerald Lee Ross. And then they called me Jerry. Confused me for many years in my life. But I always remember asking my dad, "Why would you call me something or name me something that you'd never call me?" Well, you know, Gerald Lee Ross. Hey, that last name was my daddy's name. And that, let me tell you, Gerald Lee Ross is forever, and everything I do with that name is going to be in some ways connected to my father and a reflection of my father and my mother. And the Bible says a good name is rather to be chosen than great riches and loving favor, rather than silver and gold. The Bible says the father of the righteous shall greatly rejoice, and he that begetteth a wise child shall have joy of him. Thy father and thy mother shall be glad, and she that bare thee shall rejoice. What's one of the greatest gifts I can give my mom and dad? To be very careful with the name that they gave me. To be very careful that I live my life righteously and wisely so that I can make my mother glad. Now, young people, listen to me, and I think all of us need to be reminded of this. Mothers have a connection with their children in a way that we fathers, come on, dads, will never understand. See, I didn't carry our three daughters. I didn't carry our babies inside of this body here. My wife did that for 9 months. I didn't go to the jaws of death to deliver them. I did not nourish them from my own body. A mother is forever linked to her children, both physically and mentally and emotionally, and I believe even spiritually, in a way that us dads are not. Now think about this. Young people, there's no off switch to this mom thing, okay? Mom's not going to be able to turn it off. I don't care how old you are. She's still your mom, and you're still her baby. So get over it. You know, what precious gift can we give to our mothers? We can realize that our life is forever linked to her life. Our life is forever linked to her life. And our name is forever connected to her name. So live your life in such a way that your mom, come on, I can just put it this way, so your mom could be proud of you. So that when she's talking to other ladies, she can brag on you a little bit, tell how good you're doing, not to always have to cover for you and make excuses for you and be ashamed of you. I mean, that's a precious gift. That's a precious gift. One of the saddest things that a child can do to his parents is to grow up and shame their name by making sinful and foolish decisions. Honor your mother by honoring the heritage that your parents have provided for you. And in closing, let me just say this. Yes, you can give your mother the gift of obedience and the gift of honor, precious gifts. But give your mother the precious gift of eternity, and eternity spent in heaven together with her. John 14, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. These are Jesus' words. He said, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And whether I go, you know, and the way you know. One of his disciples, Thomas, he asked this, Lord, we know not whether thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. You know, I have a lot of memories of my mom, but I have a lot of Mother's Day memories. I can't tell you for sure. I don't know. I would say probably over a dozen times in the 52-year history, maybe more than that. On Mother's Day, my mom would be scheduled to sing, and she would sing a song entitled, Tell Mother I'll Be There. And it goes like this. When I was but a little child, how well I recollect how I would grieve my mother with my folly and neglect. And now that she's gone to heaven, I miss her tender care. Oh, Savior, tell my mother I'll be there. Though I was often wayward, she was always kind and good, so patient, gentle, loving when I acted rough and rude. My childhood's griefs and trials she would gladly with me share. Oh, Savior, tell my mother I'll be there. The last verse, one day a message came to me. It bade me quickly come. If I would see my mother ere the Savior took her home, I promised her before she died for heaven to prepare. Oh, Savior, tell my mother I'll be there. And the chorus goes like this. Tell mother I'll be there in answer to her prayer. This message, blessed Savior, to her bear. Tell mother I'll be there, heaven's joys with her to share. Yes, tell my darling mother I'll be there. And one of the greatest things that God offers to each and every one of us is the gift of eternal life. And the reason that he's able to offer this gift is because somebody bought it for us, somebody paid for it. We have 13 grandkids. That's a lot of birthdays in a year, okay? It seems like every time I turn around, we got another kid having a birthday. But you know what? Being a grandpa, you know what I do? I just tell the wife, here's the credit card. Go get whatever you want. Let's spoil them rotten, all right? Grandma's better at picking out gifts than I am. Matter of fact, it's kind of a joke in our family because all the tags at Christmas say from Mama and Papa. And then when the kids open it, they look at me, and I'm as surprised as they are about what they're getting. I mean, it's a treat for both of us. It's a surprise for both of us. Why go with her when I can enjoy that? And so they'll look at me and say, thank you. And I'll think to myself, you need to really be thanking her. If it was up to Papa, you wouldn't have anything under the tree. But, you know, we go out and we get these gifts and we give it to them free. But look right up here. We didn't get them free. You know, we had to go to the store and pay something so that we could give somebody something for nothing. And that's what Jesus did. That's what the old rugged cross is all about. That's why Jesus came to this earth over 2,000 years ago. You know, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Think about this. That whosoever, that's you, that's me, it's anybody. That whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And Jesus died on the cross so that every single one of us could be offered the gift of eternal life. He paid for my sins and your sins on the cross because the wages of sin is death. That's the price tag. That's the punishment. And so he said, let me go down and die for them. And because of that, we have an opportunity to receive a gift, but we have to believe that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead. Raised him from the dead. Didn't we just celebrate Easter? Amen. So we have to believe in our hearts that Jesus died for our sins. Make it personal. Right now, make it personal. Jesus died for my sin. That he was buried and 3 days later he rose again so that I could be offered the gift of eternal life. And by the way, salvation's not hard. If you feel the conviction of the Holy Spirit of God, if you know that you're a sinner, You, and you're sorry for that sin, and you say, "Preacher, I'm the one that should have died. I'm the one that should have spent an eternity in hell for my sins. But Jesus loved me so much, he came down and he suffered on that cross to pay for my sins so I don't have to." And all you have to do in order to be saved, the Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Listen, the gift is being held down to you right now, but you've got to turn around and say, "God, I choose to receive the gift that you've bought for me." Some people will go through their whole life and God will follow them around with this gift their whole life from the time they're born to the time they die, and they'll never receive it. And by the way, if you don't receive the gift of eternal life, what you're telling Jesus is, "I don't care if you paid for my sins, I'll pay for my own sins." Watch this. By the way, you will. And you'll have to for all eternity. But that doesn't make any sense. You know what? God loved you. He wants you to be saved. I believe this morning we're going to baptize a mother and a daughter. The daughter recently got saved. The mom just received Jesus as her Savior this morning, asked if she could be baptized with her daughter. You know what, folks? Listen to me. That's a mom and a daughter that's not going to just enjoy the relationship that they have on this earth, but one of these days they're going to be able to enjoy that relationship for all eternity because they chose to receive Jesus as their Savior. You know, folks, I can think of a lot of terrible things. Kids, please listen to me. But I'm going to tell you, I can't imagine getting to heaven and one of my children not being there. I can't imagine getting to heaven, one of my grandkids not being there. If you're here today without Jesus Christ as your Savior, there's a lot of good reasons to get saved. But I'm going to tell you, I think one of them that's probably ought to be on the list is this. You know what? You ought to get saved because you got a mama that loves you and been praying for you, or you got a grandma that loves you and been praying for you. You don't want to spend eternity. Come on, you don't want to spend eternity in a place where they're not. And so let's bow our heads and close our eyes for just a moment. If you're here this morning without Jesus Christ as your Savior, you know what? It's a very simple thing to be saved, but it also is a very serious thing. Something that the Bible says you must do with all of your heart. You can't do it just to make me happy or to try to make mom happy or try to get somebody off your back. It doesn't work that way. If God is dealing with your heart this morning and you say, "Preacher, if I died right now, I'm not sure that I'd go to heaven, but I'd sure like to know that for sure. I'd like to take care of that. I'd like to settle that." Now, let me ask you a few questions. Do you understand that you're a sinner? Come on now, I'm not talking about looking around trying to find somebody worse than you. I'm not talking about, "Well, I'm not as bad as that person." Come on, that doesn't get us to where we need to get to. We've got to be honest before God and say, "God is a holy God without sin, and I've fallen short of his glory." If you know for sure that you're a sinner, the Lord is dealing with your heart about that sin, convicting you over that sin. And if you understand that Jesus Christ loved you so much, he came to die on the cross for your sins. He was buried and rose again the third day. And you know what? If you choose this morning, say, "Preacher, you know what? By faith," because if you're going to get saved, it has to be by faith. Okay, I can't put you in a time capsule. I can't put you in a time machine and take you back and introduce you to Jesus and have you watch him die on the cross and have you watch him be buried and have you watch him be... Listen, if you're going to be saved, you have to be saved by faith. You have to believe it because you choose to believe it with all of your heart. If you're here this morning, you say, "Preacher, you know, I don't feel like I've ever taken care of this matter of salvation. And God has been following me throughout my life, offering me this wonderful gift. And today I want to receive it. I want to know for sure that if I died, I'd go to heaven." If you're here this morning, you say, "Preacher, I'm not sure if I'm saved." And if you feel the conviction of the Holy Spirit, do you realize the Bible says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved"? Would you want to be saved right now? Are you ready to be saved right now? Would you be willing to pray with me as I lead you through a sinner's prayer and ask Jesus Christ to be your Savior? Not to just repeat words, that's not going to do any good, but to really pray this prayer to God as I pray it and ask Jesus Christ to be your Savior today. If you've already received Christ as your Savior, you don't need to do it again. But if you never have, this would be the opportunity. If you're here today without Jesus, you're here today and you're not saved, you say, "Preacher, I'd like to get saved right now." You just pray this prayer, repeat after me and mean it to God. Just say, "Dear Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. Please forgive me for my sin. I believe in your death on the cross. I believe you died for me, for my sins. I believe with all my heart that you were buried and rose again. Lord, please save me right now. Please, I want to receive the gift of eternal life. Make me your child and take me to heaven when I die. Thank you for saving me, Jesus."